Let's call this meeting to order and we'll start with the flag salute.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Laura, maybe we have a roll call, please.
Yes, Director Susenia. Director Cross.
Here.
Director Fourcroy.
Here.
Director Hubbard.
Here.
Vice President Womack.
Present. I'd like to welcome our new lawyer and our new director. So,
starting in 2025 off with a fresh group.
Yes. So thanks for your service. All right. We'll start off with the board officer election.
Okay. Let me just kind of run through this real quick on how we proceed with this. Per our board bylaws and rules of decorum, the board president and vice president shall be elected annually at the first regular meeting of each calendar year. The board's vice president, which is Christine Womack this time, shall become board president following the year after his or her election, barring a four-fifths vote to preclude said promotion. So the first round of action is to see if there's consensus to move our vice president to president.
I want that to happen. I have consensus.
No objection here.
Same here, I agree.
Great, then we can definitely move on to the next one. The second action is to select a vice president. There can be nominated solicitive. If there's no more than one candidate, then we don't need to take a vote. If so, if there's two or more, I do have ballots available for us to elect. So that's up to the board to nominate.
I'd like to nominate Matthew Fourcroy.
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
I think we have consensus.
Can I get a second?
I will second that, please.
Thank you, Rich.
Thank you, Laura. Okay. We can move on then.
All right.
I guess we need public comment for board elections. Is there
All right. Let's open it up for public comment on the elections.
If you'd like to make public comment and you're online, please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, please come to the podium. There's no public comment online.
Or in the boardroom.
We'll start with the fire department report. They may not be here.
Paul and his backup, Josh Taylor, are both gone.
Yeah, that makes sense.
We do have a written report in the packet, and hopefully they're all safe.
Well, we definitely appreciate their service. Do we have a sheriff's department report?
There's no one online for the sheriff department.
Oh, he's in the boardroom.
Oh, perfect. Sorry.
Even better.
All right. Good afternoon or evening, everyone. Just want to introduce myself. My name is Hank Abbas. I am the new commander of the Sheriff's Coast Station. Just to let you know a little bit about my career, been in peace officer for 18 years. I spent a majority of it in investigations, but my time in patrol has been here at the Coast Station serving as a deputy, as a senior deputy, and recently as a sergeant before I went into supervised investigative unit, and I'm now back as the commander of the Coast Station. So I'm glad to be here, and thank you for having us or having me. So with regards to our report for the calendar year of December, we had a total of 403 calls in compared to 415 calls from last year in the same time period. Of note were 3 assault reports, 18 disturbances, 47 enforcement stops, and 39 preventative patrol calls for service. Something that we did want to bring up is we have been noticing a slight uptick of thefts from people's porches and people's vehicles. That tends to happen, particularly around the holiday area, where there is a lot of packages that are left at doorways. So just as a reminder, if you have somebody that you could potentially alert to retrieve your package for you, like a trusted neighbor or somebody that could swing by, that's highly recommended in order to protect yourself from loss in that regard. And then with regards to thefts from vehicles, be diligent in locking your doors at all times, frankly, your vehicle doors. And if you have anything in your vehicles that is of value, don't leave it there, or secure it in your trunk. Or try to disguise it or cover it as much as possible, again, in order to make yourself a more harder target or a more challenging target for somebody that would be looking to victimize people in the community.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee?
No, but good to meet you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for your service and thanks for your report. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Do we have a California Highway Patrol?
They are online.
All right.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Lieutenant Santor with the Highway Patrol. Hope everybody had a good New Year's. We're safe. Report for this month. I'll start out with the crashes that we had. We ended up having 3 non-injury hit and run crashes, 2 minor injury crashes, and then 1 non-injury crash. Also, that we did arrest 1 impaired driver from the roads. During our last meeting, we had some concerns about some crosswalks and school zones. I want to let you know we did have some additional enforcement out there. However, they were not able to cite anybody or make any stops during the times that we were out there. And this was for the crosswalks on LOVR, as well as the Saturday morning soccer parking out by the middle school. But we still are going to be having people out there. But I just want to let you know that we did put additional units out there to address those concerns. So that's the end of my report, unless you guys have any questions for me.
Oh, terrific. Do we have any questions from the board?
I don't think I have a question, but yeah, thank you for responding to those requests about the crosswalks, for sure. I know lately what I've been told and asked about is just we've had so many tourists in town basically going out to Montana Doro, and there's a lot of speeding, and especially at 9th Street, where LOVR and 9th come together, a lot of congestion with people not in the right lane. So probably that would be a spot if you guys have additional.
Sure, and no problem. And we have been moving our radar trailer around. So if there's an issue there, we can go ahead and can get that on the list of places to put the radar trailer.
Yeah, maybe there are Palisades. But yeah, that area, I've gotten a few comments from neighbors around, like, hey, what's going on with that? So
all right. Yep. I will take note of that, and I will let my officers know it, and we'll put some additional patrol out there.
Okay, thanks.
All right, terrific. Thank you. All right, so we have a press
public comment
up for a public comment on the public safety reports.
If you're online, raise your hand, and if you're in the boardroom, please come to the podium. There's none online.
Okay, none in the boardroom. We have a presentation of our 2023-2024 audit, and it was clean with no findings, so we like that.
Great presentation, Chris. No.
We're done now?
We're done now. Yes, it's our pleasure to bring forward our annual financial audit for fiscal year 2023-2024. Some of the key points, it's quite an extensive document. We have it online. We gave you some of the highlight documents in the agenda packet. But the district's financial position strengthened to about $4.1 million, which included about $282,000 of grant revenue. It was nice to see our water service fees increase to $333,000 over fiscal year 22-23. Revenues had been down, so it's nice to see those coming back up. Property taxes performed as expected. We did have about $1.84 million in revenue, primarily due to the overpayment settlement with County Fire, which was about 1.2 of that. So the rest of the property taxes performed as expected. We are still doing great in our reserves, mainly in our fire and water funds. Basically, those are our two big funds with about $2.7 million and $3.3 million in those respectively. Governmental expenses did increase by about $326,000, but that was mostly due to our Schedule A, which is our fire contract with Cal Fire for fire protection and emergency medical services. Investment income was up quite a bit, reflective of the change in strategy that we did a couple of years ago, which was very good news and much welcomed. A few more here, and this is mainly to make statements that are relevant to our operations, that the district should be able to maintain positive trends and with the continued implementation of timely financial reporting, extensive mid-year reviews and adjustments, and continually monitoring all fund activities. And this is where Chris was relating to the results of our auditor's test disclosed no instances of noncompliance, which is great. And the auditor did not identify any deficiencies in our internal controls, which again is a great finding. Want to say the Finance Advisory Committee did take a look at this, had a lot of questions, and recommend that the board file and receive this year's financial audit. We do have online our accountant, Adrian, and we also have Sandy Supp, the lead auditor. And I believe Sandy wants to make a few comments on this.
Yes. Hello. Good evening. I'm Sandy Supp. I'm an audit manager with Fechter & Company CPAs. And this is our fourth year of auditing the district. And the audit went smoothly. And I'd like to thank Ron and Adrian and Laura for providing all the documents that we requested in a timely manner, and just being very responsive. Very much appreciate that. Everything went smoothly. We didn't find any exceptions in our testing. I don't have anything else to add other than if anyone has any questions regarding the audit, feel free to ask.
Any questions from the board?
I don't think so, but that's a great report, basically.
Yeah, I'm pleased with it. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Okay. Shall we open it up for public comment? Or should we hear from Adrian?
No, that's it.
Okay, let's open
Adrian's
this
here for questions.
Item up for public comment.
If you're online, please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, please come to the podium. There's no public comment online.
All right, none in the boardroom. Do I hear a motion?
I'll move that the board receive and file the fiscal year 2023-2024 financial audit as presented.
Go ahead. Our new people, let's do it. Come on, Rich.
I'll second that, please.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 We don't have to do a roll call, do we?
No.
Okay. All right. Next. Public hearing to about the solid waste connections proposal.
Yes.
Oh,
follow procedures. We need to open the public hearing.
Okay. I echoed it. But let's open the public hearing.
Great. Thank you. Just a little bit of background on how we got here tonight. Back at our November 7th meeting, we had an extensive, detailed presentation provided by R3, our solid waste consultant, and I do want to say both Garth and his associate Jordan are online to answer questions tonight. After that deliberations, the board tentatively supported the 2025 solid waste rate increase as presented, approved mailing out the Prop 218 notice. We set the hearing date for tonight, and along with that, we requested that the board tentatively support the new rate setting methodology that was to be implemented with the 2026 rates, but also played into the rates that we're seeing tonight. Just a little bit of a summary. The 2025 application presented by Mission Country Disposal projected 2025 costs providing, you know, to provide service on actual and the actual costs of providing service. The results for the most recently completed year, which was 2023, which were based on the audited financials supplied by Mission Country Disposal, projected the current year 2024, which was you know, was based on the year-to-date information they had before they submitted the application back in 2024, at the end of 2024, and then projected the results for the next year, which we're in now for 2025. The reason for the increases, which were outlined in the Prop 218 notice, were higher organics processing costs to the external facility and capital operational costs. That's the anaerobic digester that our green waste goes to. Landfill tipping fees went from $41 a ton to $70 a ton, reflecting market adjustments. Collection costs, including labor, vehicles, and other expenses and overhead, of course, went up associated with inflation, things that we've all been experiencing. And we did we're phasing in a profit allowance from 9% or from 7%, excuse me, to 9% in 2025 and 10% in 2026. With that, though, we did negotiate some service enhancements, introduction of new services like cart exchange, especially with our organics, our food waste going into the green waste container. People might want to get that cart exchanged. That means it'll be cleaned and they'll get a different cart in exchange for that. Bulky waste collection during cleanup week, one free large item. And all that'll be partially paid for through the rates. We did do a new depreciation schedule on the trucks from 7 years to 10 years, and there's a slightly reduced our cost or the cost of the increase. But here's how it's what the rates are in are funding, the expenses that they're funding. Collections of services 56% of that. Post-collection, that's the landfill, that's the recycling facility and the organics, is 29%. Our franchise fee is 10%, and the actual profit allowance is 5% of the pie. So in summary, you know, the announce highlights the balanced approach we're trying to do, covering costs while maintaining fairness, stability, and rates, and incorporating elements of the proposed new rate-setting methodology, which I mentioned. Which was, you know, tentatively approved by the board back in November, which resulted in the recommended 13.18% rate increase. So what I want to schedule, how I want to structure this is we'll take board questions right now, and we'll come back to public comment at the end of the presentation. But if there's any questions that you'd like to ask me or our consultants online before we move into the new rate setting methodology.
So basically one of the ideas behind the new rate setting is to not have a giant increase like we did before.
Right, we'll talk about that next, but if there's any questions specifically about what we're dealing with tonight on the actual rates.
I wanted to just have a little more background on the organics processing, because I know that that was a big part of the past rate increases, and I believe that's not our choice. We're doing that to come for because of a regulatory mandate, right?
Right. You know, it's complicated, and because that facility is independently owned, and Mission Country or Waste Connections, and Jeff Claren is in the audience tonight too, and he may be able to help me out there. But it's independently owned and operated, and there's a contract between Waste Connections and HZI. I think it has a new name now, but anyway, HZI, which owns the facility. The advantage of the anaerobic digestion process is that it complies with all the new regulations coming down for emissions from like typical composting, which are windrows that emit, mm-hmm. you know, emissions from their composting process. It has been expensive. They're trying to bring it back up to through maintenance to a design. It was kind of revert, not, you know, the engineering, original engineering was to bring it in under budget, mm-hmm. and it's needed improvements to make it actually operate.
Got it.
So we're seeing that.
Jeff, could you help us out on what some of those regulations are and how those have phased in. And I know some of that has been with like food waste.
Yeah, that's actually what started with SB 1383. And actually, what it was a proactive approach before SB 1383 came out, because what they were going to do is pretty much promote anaerobic digesters, which this is. So people in San Luis Obispo County actually looked into different processes using this anaerobic digester. Was from Switzerland, and basically this is the first digester in North America, and it started in San Luis Obispo. So when you look at it being the first, they found some. Being the first is great, but there's also things that they can learn from. I think when they have this all over Europe, and one of the things they did, this is their first area where it's actually near a beach community. So one of the reasons why the big cost increases came up, not only because it's SB 1383 related, but a lot of the sand, a lot of their metal parts were wearing a lot faster. They were anticipating, 7, 8 years. These were re being replaced in the first year. So that was a lot of the big costs that they didn't find out. So they're going through the motions now, and then this increase is just a little bit part of that. And right now it's working well. They're taking all the material. They're taking all the material from all the waste connection sites that we're taking out, and they're producing a composting product. And it's an anaerobic digester. So if you take an open wind row, open composting in the area, a lot of that emissions go up in the environment. Where this one here, they're actually recovering it and actually producing energy through it.
So, I mean, basically, we've had state law that's driven more reuse of waste,
Correct.
and which is why we had to, as a whole area, fund that piece of equipment. And then we're in San Luis Obispo County, so then we have to take care of the air emissions and everything to put that piece of equipment in, right?
Yes.
So, I just wanted to highlight that a little bit because, I mean, that's the voters passed that, and now we're sort of paying for it, which has a lot of benefits,
It sure does, yes.
but we're starting to see that on our bills.
And if I might, board members, I'm Garth Schultz with R3 Consulting Group, and I concur with everything Jeff Claren just had to share. The thing that we can offer, and we work with over 100 agencies in the state at any given time on this, and 2 points to help, I think, emphasize is one, you in the district and others in San Luis Obispo County really aren't any, worse off than anybody else in the state. Everyone's been having to pay new costs associated with this new regulation. And the other thing here is you're really actually kind of through the worst of it, in the sense of you've done the initial investment in the initial programs. There's been, a couple of additional changes, but both our review and our review of Mission Country Disposal's costs and our interviews with Jeff and his team indicate, ultimately, you should be through most of that initial lift and really in a more stable position going forward.
Okay, thank you. So that's part of those post-collection services, 29%. So some percentage of that is related to organics.
Correct.
The other thing I wanted to highlight is just Ron's work to set up these negotiations. So it wasn't just Los Osos, it was San Luis Obispo City.
There's 10 agencies that are
And
involved.
yeah.
All the cities south of the grade and special districts with Solid Waste Authority.
Yeah, so an effort to homogenize
Right.
what's going on throughout the county.
Right. We work closely with the city of San Luis Obispo that took lead agency role because of their relationship with R3 and their contract, and we jumped in with them to jumpstart this.
And Ron was a big part because he was also part of the 1994 rate manual. So it's come full circle.
Okay, Jeff, you don't have to remind me.
Very appreciative.
Yeah, thank you, Ron. That's all I had.
One of the extra benefits actually from this program, if you're a gardener, you can go out to Los Osos Valley Nursery and pick up compost free
Yeah.
from the plant processing facility. So,
Any other questions from the board?
If not, we'll move into the second part. And
Well,
like I said, we'll come back to public comment after all the presentation. I
okay.
just want to be clear on the board and comments there. So moving on, part of the action that we're recommending tonight, and it is interwoven with tonight's rates as well, because we used pieces of the new methodology in the rate that was created tonight, is the new annual solid waste rate adjustment methodology. As Jeff mentioned, the old methodology was created in 1994 by the city of San Luis Obispo, which I was a part of, and had been in place since then. But we were recognizing that it was outdated, really needed a new look. Things have changed a lot since 1994 in the waste industry, and so it was long overdue. The key changes include adjustments based on index-based rate adjustments and using the garbage and trash CPI. There's actually a CPI index that is garbage and trash, which we think will result in less frequent cost-based adjustments. Cost-based are like what we are basically looking at tonight, where we go through this process and we feel it will be more beneficial to our residents and customers of Mission Country and to the company. We have to make sure the company stays whole. That's an important partnership here, that they are able to provide the level of service that they have in the past, which has been very good to the community.
We have to pay what it costs to purvey the service.
Exactly. Mentioned some of the enhancements that we're looking at. I think the best one, I did mention the free bulky waste, clean and the exchange of carts, but we are going to be able to establish a low income customer discount. When the franchise agreement came back to us, we weren't able to do that under Prop 218 requirements. And so this is a concession that has been made by Mission Country Disposal to fund that program for us. So getting a little bit into the nitty-gritty, I don't want to get too far into it because it can get complicated, but the CPI adjustments in starting in 2026, what we're looking at is the rate for 2025. In 2026, the rate adjustment will be based on that index I mentioned, with a floor of 2% and a cap of 5%. Amounts under 2% or over will carry forward. This is part of the revenue balancing, which is part of what we're trying to achieve here, because it's hard to predict inflation. We've seen years where it's been way higher than 5%, but before that, years where it was quite low, like more around the 2%. And so in order to kind of smooth that out, any surplus or shortfalls will be accounted for from year to year. And there's examples in the agenda packet that get kind of into some technical, and that's why Garth and Jordan are online and can explain if there's any questions on how that works. But basically, it's trying to keep it smooth, so it won't always, it can go over 5%, but the hope is if inflation is under control, it could maybe be 6% or somewhere like that, but it can also go down. So it depends on what our economy is doing and the inflation is doing. And that's all part of the revenue reconciliation mechanism that we'll do each year to see where we're at in terms of waste connections or Mission Country's costs and inflation, and to determine all, where that actual rate ends up. So again, as we know, we've experienced some dramatic rate increases over the past few years. And so this is, I think, a fair and equitable way to smooth that out. And what's very important, that this new methodology, it would be consistent with Prop 218 in the way we determine rates. And, it's trying to project stability. So my conclusions on this, based on all the work we've been doing through most of 2024, is the methodology is expected to stabilize annual rate adjustments, align with regulatory mandates. As Jeff was saying, we're under a lot of pressure from regulatory mandates, and improve transparency and cost effectiveness. And then we'll have these enhanced services and rate structure calculations that ensure equitable and sustainable solid waste management. And that's both for the community and for the hauler, Mission Country Disposal. So any questions about the rate structure amendments, take those, and then we can go to public comment. The board has any
questions from the board?
Yeah, I have a question on the says the implementation of measures like low income customer discounts. Now, who determines what a low income customer is?
Well, the way I believe it's going to work, and I'm helping you, Jeff, because you have it in other areas, there's certain requirements. When I worked for the city of SLO that had low income for water and different things, it was they could provide verification through the PG&E Care program. Why don't you, Jeff, if you've got some.
Yeah, so what we've said is that we will follow whatever the utility is doing. So a lot of communities have a low income program, and they either use the PG&E CARES program, and then they have it. And we will just get a list and work with the districts. And if they don't won't have one, then we'll work with the district and kind of figure out how best to handle that. We figured there's a few districts that already have them, so if we just piggyback on them,
So
that was
it's
the
some sort
intent.
of verification, typically from another utility
Yes.
that will accept, and that we'll be handling that in cooperation with Mission Country in terms of determining the validation of the low income status.
Good question. Any other questions from the board? All right, let's open this item up for public comment.
If you're
So for public.
online, please raise your hand, and if you're in the boardroom, come to the podium.
Right, for public comment, if you want to make a in the boardroom, just come up behind here and you have 3 minutes. And state
And
your
at
name,
this
please.
time, there's no public comment online.
Okay, and please state your name. Thank you.
How many people do we have online?
We have three currently.
Okay.
Hello. My name is Jeff Simons. My wife Suzanne and I are here tonight. We're 20-year homeowners in Los Osos, and we recently retired in 2023 full-time here in Los Osos. My wife Suzanne and I are against the 2025 proposed rate increase for the solid waste collection by Mission Country Disposal. We're retired and living on a fixed income. The outrageous 97% increase in 2023 was a shock to our monthly budget. Needless to say, the additional increases since then have compounded the affordability issue for us. As property owners and residents of Los Osos, we believe that the proposed 13% rate hike this year is excessive and will place an undue financial burden on the community. We're also concerned that the excessive costs will automatically increase again in years 2026, 27, 28, and 29 without public opportunity to oppose the increases. Other solid waste haulers in San Luis Obispo County do not seem to be having trouble with their budgets. Perhaps replacing Mission Country Disposal with a more efficient company should be considered as a reasonable solution. The proposed increase of 13% in solid waste fees is significant and comes at a time when many residents are already facing financial challenges. The cumulative impact of such increases is detrimental to the economic well-being of our community. We urge the board to reconsider this proposal and explore alternative solutions that do not disproportionately affect the residents of Los Osos. I also wanted to make a comment that the format of the protest is, if you want to not agree with it, it's automatically going to get approved and ramrodded through. It could have easily also have been, if you support the project, we won't approve this project unless we have enough people supporting it. It's the same thing. It's kind of both ways. So I'm fine. I don't know anybody that would support a rate increase voluntarily. So I'm hoping that enough people show concern. But I appreciate your time and my ability to talk to you tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I'm Sam, a nearly 40-year resident of this place before K95 was even thought of, when Ron was still wet behind the ears in San Luis. And so you imagine how long ago that was. That was like the last millennium or more. So I know one person here on the board. I don't know any of you, don't need to. My questions are today is I am firmly against the raising of the rates. Do you remember reading about how we came into this position, why the Franchise Tax Board was created? Was not created to compensate this company here. It was created to help offset the wages that the LLCSD has for the attorney, for the members, the office. So the money doesn't go necessarily just to pay mission disposal. It also goes to pay wages. And I don't know if the community is really aware of that. Second of all, I also, like Jeff, agree that this is already decided. It's been decided every single time prior to when it was created, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago. So me coming up here is really irrelevant because you're not going to change your mind. You've already decided, and you've already given wages and raises to these people here at the board, out on the field. God bless them. They do a good job. I have no problem with mission disposal. They do a great job. All the guys are there, everything, okay? But second thing I'd like to know is I want to know what the percentage is of the actual cost that Mission Country charges us and what we charge the customer. That differential, I think what Bron said, was almost 15 to 20%. Now, if we have a 13% increase today, if we don't take any of the money from their wage, we don't have to have an increase. And then you'll have to figure out how to get the money from somewhere else. But I don't think it should be on the back of the taxpayers, or the ratepayers in this case, for compensating the wages and benefits of the employees of the LOCSD. I think we've mismanaged that so horribly that you're going to take any money you can get anywhere. So like I said, my biggest thing is I'd like to see somewhere where it says the percentages of what we pay and what we get, okay, and what the CSD takes from this. Because if we can eliminate that and we just pay mission disposal, play it off the top, we can save this increase. And then maybe next time we won't have such a horrible 97% increase because of your failures. All right, God bless. Have a great day.
Great. Thank you. Anyone else? All right, I will close public comment. Do you want to respond, Roman?
I'm not sure what the questions would be. I think what Tom was talking about is our franchise fee, which we do take a percentage for my salary and Laura's in the work we have to do to maintain the franchise agreements and comply with state law. It's not a very large percentage. The rest of that, or a portion of that, goes back to pay a loan to the county that we incurred back in the wastewater days. And that is still got a few years of repayment on. I don't remember exactly. And then the rest does go into a reserve that has to be used for something related to solid waste. And it can't go to be paying our water crew. It can't be to pay fire expenses, drainage. So I believe that's where Tom was going with that. We do understand, you know, the 97% rate increase happened under the county watch, and it was unfortunate. There was quite a significant increase in that. It's around 41-ish percent. But then there was a retroactive amount that went because the county took over a year to rectify or pass a rate. And so Mission Country was entitled to a retroactive increase to when it should have been. So at the end of, what year is that, 2022? Well, it went away. Part of that rate increase went away. Go ahead, if you'd like to.
Yeah, that is correct. It was we submitted something, and it was over a year ago, a year later that it was actually acted on with the county. So there was initially a 40% increase, but with the retroactive, because they weren't, they didn't do it, it ended up being 97%. But in April of, like, the 2021, it dropped off. So it went back to there was a pretty big reduction in the bill. So it went back to the original 40% increase.
Is about 9 months, I believe.
That's, yeah, it was a 9-month recovery period. Right. So it did go up for 97% for 9 months, and it went back down.
And then I do want to stress what we're trying to do with the change in methodology is to avoid those types of swings in the future.
And part of it, too, is this rate manual is actually simplified. It went from 100-something page document to now it's like a 12-page document. A lot of it before was a lot. There was a lot in there, which caused a lot of delays. So now it's almost engineered out.
One thing I wanted to point out here is about our franchise fee, which you talked about where that goes. And especially once the loan's paid off, we'll have the ability to put that money back in the community.
Correct. And it could be moved towards whatever the board decides.
Yeah. In this board, when we originally set that up, we talked about that. And we talked about the that being a huge benefit of the franchise coming back to the CSD versus the county, because we don't have that overhead. So eventually, hopefully we can do things like Napomo does with free trash month and things like that.
Sometimes. Or reductions for your mm-hmm. pay downs.
So, and that'll be at this board's discretion. So yeah. At that point, that'll be a good discussion.
Here's something that I noticed in the rate adjustment discussion in our board packet that I don't remember ever being part of water rate discussion. And maybe I just missed that. Revenue balancing mechanisms, revenue reconciliation mechanisms. If revenues exceed projections for a certain year, that's credited toward future years. And conversely, if they fall behind, then you get to make that up. I don't remember that being part of our water rate discussion. This is complex. This is so complex. But I will say that in the past, probably 4 years ago, 5 years ago, there was a water rate increase that this board had. As these things happen, you know, you don't approve them every year. You usually set a future, 3 or 4 years of rate increases at a time, so that you don't have to come back annually. Well, we got to a point where the last of the three rate increases that we had passed, the board looked at it and we had met revenue projections. And we decided we did not need to take that rate increase. And I do remember, I don't remember the recommendation from the full finance committee, but I remember hearing from one member of the finance committee that we should just take the rate increase and not rock the boat because it had already been approved. And we did not take that rate increase because we had met our revenue projections. We take these things seriously, very seriously. So if there's any way to cut costs, we do it. And looking at franchise fee reduction, all those things, they go through our mind. We don't pass rate increases if we don't need them. I guess that's my bottom line. And we have a history to show that. With the water rates.
There was a question about the process and the majority protest process versus an approval requirement. We just want to note that the majority protest process that you're following tonight is the one that's required by state law for this type of decision. It's set out in Prop 218, which was adopted by the voters. So this is the process that you have to follow for this type of proceeding.
Thank you for
that's a good that point.
Up. So with that, we need for the public. That should be public hearing closed.
So I'm going to close the public hearing.
Right. And as far as protest votes, and Laura, I think I have the latest. We did get quite a few here this afternoon. I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, we received a total of 465 protests. Of those, 365 were valid. The reason for the ones that weren't valid were missing APN addresses, signatures, things that were all listed, and that's in Prop 218 on the things that need to be on the ballot. And that's most agencies don't provide with the Prop 218 notice, an actual way to simplify the vote. We're one of the few agencies that does that. So even if we were to include the 465 without the invalid ones, the protest number was over 3,000. I forget, Laura, do you remember the number? It's like 3,200-ish.
Right in that ballpark. I don't remember the exact number, sorry. Right.
So anyway, we do not have a valid protest vote.
All right. Do I hear a motion? Or is there any other discussion?
I think I said really what I really wanted to emphasize. We don't take these things lightly. You know, water, fire, the PG&E, costs are just going up all the time. And if we don't need it, we don't take it. And a lot of this was a huge effort that I hope will prevent the future problems that we've had. So with that, I'll move that the board adopt resolution 2025-01, approving a solid weight rate increase retroactive to January 1st, 2025, and approve Amendment 2 to the Solid Waste Connection Franchise Agreement to include Appendix 1, the annual solid waste rate adjustment methodology as presented, and authorize General Manager to execute the amended agreement with Mission Country Disposal Waste Connections U.S. Inc.
And before someone seconds, I just want to say I don't agree that it's because we're paying wages that the increase has happened. It's because of inflation and rules that we have to follow by state law. So, I also agree to, I do not want to raise them a penny more than they need to be raised, but we do need to pay what it costs to purvey. So,
I will second the motion.
All in favor?
Oh, or, I wait, have to do a roll,
a roll call vote, call. Please.
Director Sesenia.
Yes.
Vice President Forcroy.
Yes.
Director Cross.
Yes.
Director Hubbard.
Yes.
President Womack.
Yes. Okay. Nomination for LAFCO.
Now this one is a courtesy for LAFCO. Rob Fitzroy, their executive director, put out a request that there is a special district representative on LAFCO, and that there's two seats coming open. One is a 2-year term and one is a 4-year term. Deadline for nominations is February 7th, and the board can choose not to nominate a board member since this is a completely voluntary. It's not on our list of reimbursable meetings. And that it's just noted that the nominees will go to LAFCO, and then LAFCO will conduct their own election. And so this would just go into that pool of names being presented by other special districts.
So we can put our names into the hat, but it'll be picked from?
It'll be from the an election.
With all the other districts.
Right, exactly. Okay.
Is anyone interested?
What's in Marshall getting... doing these days?
Is anyone interested in being nominated?
Just a heads up, there's going to be next meeting one of these for the IWMA board.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Oh, next meeting, we're going to have another request similar to this for the Integrated Waste Management Authority board.
Yeah. So Marshall's the one that was our...
Well, he was elected at large, you know, he always kept throwing his name into the hat and to run. It's not like it has to be from our district, like
no.
I said. It's right. Like any special district can nominate someone, and then it goes by the election.
Okay. Well, if no one's interested, I don't think we have to nominate anyone.
You don't
anyone.
Have to do anything.
So I'm
this is, like that. I said, a courtesy for LAFCO that I can report out that no one is interested.
And
we do need public comment.
Okay, let's open this up for a public comment.
If you're online, please raise your hand, and in the boardroom, come to the podium. No comment online.
Okay, I'll bring it back to the board. All right, I think we're not taking action, and we'll move on. Our action is no nomination.
No action.
Okay. All right, let's open it up for public comments not on the agenda.
If you're online, please raise your hand, and in the boardroom, come to the podium. And I do have one written in comment when you're ready.
Thanks. Good evening. My name is Andrea Luker. Welcome to your new directors. Thank you to your existing directors, and welcome to the new attorney. Andrea Luker, I'm speaking on behalf of React Alliance. We're a nonprofit, nonpartisan volunteer organization that opposes the proposed offshore wind projects off our coast. I'm here as a positive to invite you to an event and the general public to an event on Saturday, January 18th, beginning at noon at Morro Rock. We're hosting an event in opposition of offshore wind, and the event is called End It. This is incredibly a nationwide event, overall sponsored by the recently formed coalition called NOAA, which stands for National Offshore Wind Opposition Alliance. This national alliance is a one-issue coalition made up of environmentalists, fishing and community organizations, tribal nations, and groups like our own local REACT Alliance. The event at Morro Rock, held rain or shine, will include several short presentations. And then at approximately 12:30 p.m., attendees will be encouraged to peacefully march along the Harbor Walk and the Embarcadero. Signs will be provided, or you can bring your own. The event is focused on letting the incoming administration, federal administration, know that with a united voice, there is significant opposition to offshore wind from the East Coast to the West Coast, and the promise to end offshore wind must be kept. The National Day of Action will not only be held in Morro Bay, but also in numerous other locations, including Richmond, Virginia, Ocean City, New Jersey, Atlantic City, New Jersey, Mahopac, New York, hopefully I didn't butcher that for those New York people, Seaside Park, New Jersey, Coastal Massachusetts, and Long Beach, New York. To date, there are over 20 regional anti-offshore wind groups from the East Coast to the West Coast participating in this, with that growing daily. The actions in each location will be individual as the groups and the locations they represent, from outdoor rallies and marches to indoor gatherings with expert speakers and music, and perhaps even the pop-up guerrilla protest, not in Morro Bay. This event is a public outcry of national solidarity and opposition to the destructive, costly, and inefficient offshore wind industry. The tagline for the event is Two Coasts, East and West, One Voice. For more information about the offshore wind in general, please visit our website, which is reactalliance.org, and we hope to see you at Morro Rock at noon on January 18th. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Andrea. All right.
I have one that was written in.
Oh, thank you. Please read.
Perfect. This is from Douglas Converse. He says, I spoke to you once before regarding seniors who own land on streets that are 80 to 90% occupied, and yet restrictions and waiting lists seem to apply for these seniors. So I hope at this meeting, the board can consider allowing seniors on a list to greenlight a bill to fulfill their retirement hope in Los Osos. Respectfully submitted, Douglas.
Thank you. Any other?
There is none other online.
Okay. Thank you. Do you want to respond, Ron? Okay. Perfect. Does anyone want to pull any administrative or committee reports?
We still need to do the administrative reports.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm doing the wrong thing. All right. Written. Oh, general manager report.
Thank you. I usually do, if there's something I want to highlight on the utilities department report, I do. There's an effort going on at the utility advisory committee meeting, with the utility advisory committee regarding a new intent will serve letter process. We've spent a couple of meetings on it already. We're going to do one more coming up next week, and then I'm going to probably be bringing something to the board in February. Just want to give you a heads up. When we started looking at, you know, the potential for some applications coming through, we realized that our process hadn't been touched since 2004 and needed updating. On the general manager's report, I did want to speak with the board quickly about this $8 million federal grant that it's been in the press lately. And I've provided general updates over the last year with really nothing to update except that we were still in the running. Well, we actually made the list on the funding list, but the catch is now the money needs to be appropriated. So we won't have any further information probably till around March on that. And it has to be reviewed by the Army Corps. They're the federal agency in charge of those grants. But anyway, we're close. But of course, in our current political climate, it's uncertain what will be appropriated. But I just wanted to make sure you heard it from me, what's going on.
All right, appreciate that.
Real quick on the Habitat Conservation Plan status, it was finally approved at the December 10th board meeting. County staff indicated that it's going to take at least till mid-2025, June-ish, maybe even longer, before it'll be available to release credits. So we're going to definitely see, if any, it'll be very, very limited development in Los Osos during 2025.
When did we think it was going to start?
Hopefully right now, this month.
Oh, that's when we thought that people would start to be contacted, and now it's
well, no, that's different. The Habitat Conservation Plan is part of that building permit process.
Oh, to get, that was the simplification, so they just pay a fee instead of Habitat.
Well, they will pay a fee, but there has to be a program and credits available, and that program hasn't been set up yet. So that's...
How does that affect people if they're allowed to build?
Well, they won't be able to build until the program's available.
Okay.
So that's where we're not going to see much action until that program's available. But meanwhile, people have been notified on the waiting list, and there's inquiries about how to get offsets, and which is becoming problematic. So there's going to be a lot of bumps in the road here coming up. And then finally, I wanted to speak quickly. LOCAC and district staff, mainly me, Matthew's attended a couple of the meetings, have been looking at parks and recs issues in the community. We've been definitely keeping our eye on Save Cuesta Inlet, and what's going on there. There's been a lot of interest from U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and they're actually willing to bring funding to the table to make that happen, but there's still a long ways to go on that. And of course, there's the Sunnyside School and the potential sale. And if the county is interested, since they have first right of refusal, I believe on that. And there's been a lot of conversations with Supervisor Gibson. Even most recent conversations indicate that he'd really like to see some sort of support from the CSD in that effort. So there'll be more on that coming to the board in the near future as well. And with that, you can take any questions.
Thanks for the report. Any questions from the board? All right, I'm not hearing any. Utilities Advisory Committee?
Well, you heard Ron mention the will serve process that we're reviewing. That was
sorry, Chuck. I stole your thunder.
Yeah, that was the big issue that we've been talking about. If the county's going to be issuing, we should be ready to make our process fit theirs. But as we've just heard, we got a 6-month rebound. Just kind of a pause on that.
Thank you. Any questions for Chuck? All right. Finance. I believe the Finance Committee recommended that we receive and file the audit. And I do it backwards. Do we receive and file the warrants and
approve
the
financials?
The financials.
Right.
So that's about it. Okay. And no report. Any directors' announcements of district and community interest reports or attendance at public meetings, training programs, conferences, or seminars? Anyone have anything? Okay. Appointments of district advisory committee chairpersons and vice chair persons, and appointments of district representatives to outside agencies by the board president. So, where's my notes? That's why I had to run back and get this. So mostly I'm keeping a lot of the appointments the same. Sorry, let me find my notes. There it is, big dog ear. Okay. So with the few openings that we have for ESAC, I'm going to chair, and then Tom Cross will be vice chair. For finance, I'll stay chair, and Tom will be vice chair. Parks and Rec will be Matthew, and vice chair will be Rich. Utilities chair will be Chuck, and director Matthew will be vice chair. Basin Management Committee will stay the same with Director Cesena as chair,
And alternate is Director Forcroy. Cap Slow will remain the same. Chuck and Matthew. Fire Safe Council will be me, and Rich will be alternate. LOCAC is on a rotating basis. Morro Bay Estuary Committee, I'm appointing Ohilski, and I will be the alternate. And
you can't appoint Ohilski.
I think I can.
He can't represent the district because he's not a board member.
I didn't think he had to be a board member.
Ron?
I'll be the backup.
To represent us, wouldn't you have to be? I mean, I don't know. He's probably got a place on that committee if they want him, but to represent us, wouldn't he have to be a board member?
Well, we looked at the estuary program, and it doesn't say specifically it has to be a board member. It says Los Osos Community Services District. So I think that would be it.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So he needs to write a report, but I will attend the meetings also. So sure. If he's unable to report, I will. And then the Water Resource Advisory, we have Chuck as the appointed and General Manager Muds as the alternate. Oh, all right. We have to do the ad hoc committee to review the bylaws. And Tom, I was hoping you'd help me with that.
Volunteer.
Oh, thank goodness. Because usually Marshall would do it and I would just reread what he said. So that is the ad hoc committee. We can discuss that. And I don't think we have any previously asked questions. Alrighty. Does anyone want to? Oh, public comment for items on the administrative report? Oh, wait. Does anyone want to pull anything from the consent agenda? All right.
I do want to make a quick comment that we made some adjustments to the investment policy, which were a couple of grammar errors, and then a recommendation by the Finance Committee to replace a word agencies with district. So we circulated that and posted it. I just wanted to make sure the directors were aware we made a slight modification, but nothing that was policy related.
The district is an agency, but it makes it more specific to us. So right, we thought correct. That was a good suggested change by one of our committee members. Thanks for bringing that up. All right, public comment for items on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda.
If you're online, please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, please come to the podium. There's no public comment online.
And none in the boardroom.
And then I move that we receive and file the administrative and committee reports and approve the consent agenda.
I second that.
Do we need a roll call?
Yes, all right,
roll
we do.
Call vote.
Vice President Forcroy.
Yes.
Director Cross.
Yes.
Director Sesenia.
Yes.
Director Hubbard.
Yes.
President Womack.
Yes. Okay. Any future agenda items? And any closing board comments? All right. Well, welcome again to our new directors and our new lawyer. Appreciate all of you. And I will adjourn this meeting.
Happy 2025. Well, guys.
Yeah.